We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Time to talk some White Sox. And for that, we go back to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook groups.
Assistant general manager of the Chicago White Sox and a longtime friend of mine, and hopefully a friend of yours for the future,
I hope
Ryan.
So.
Jin Wong, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Jin, welcome in and good morning.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Morning.
Yeah. First, your reflections on last night. Just as a baseball fan, also somebody that works in the business for so many years like you've had, just your reaction to a game like that against these two powerhouses.
Yeah, wow. That's the only word I really had last night. Amazing postseason. Every postseason seems to be amazing and have these moments that make the game so special and bring us back to those moments where, you know, we're like Freddie Freeman said, we're in our backyard. We dream of these types of moments and to be put in those situations and to come through, just amazing.
I guess we'll get right to it. I mean, I know you can't speak for Chris Getz, but obviously you guys are in the midst of hiring a manager and you're not going to share all of that with us right now, but it's right. How much of that time is it taking you guys to go through some of these interviews and defining, you know, again, as a media person, Ryan, a media person, you know, we try to set the scenario about what is being looked for by the Chicago White Sox when they hire this next manager.
Sure.
So maybe you can help us down that road a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is the most important decision that we're going to make, frankly. And it is the person that's going to lead our team on the field. We are looking for a partner. Chris is looking for a partner in the game. And there's an exhaustive list of characteristics that we're looking from. I mean, anything from being a natural leader, someone that can establish a winning culture, obviously represent the org in a profound way. But also we're looking for a collaborator, you know, somebody that's an exceptional communicator, a motivator, someone that's going to be relentless with the fundamentals, someone that can be a unifier with the coaches, players, and staff. And I think guys that, when we think of the traditional word of field manager, we think of someone that can pull the right levers at the right moments of the game, right? But I think the more we get into it and we find out that a manager is really more than that, someone that can manage personalities, someone that can manage support staff, coaches, players to really realize their potential. And I think that's really what we're looking for.
I mean, there's only 30 of these jobs, as we know, and you talked about having to get it right. What's the excitement level, not just from you guys in the front office about what's coming, but what are you selling to these managerial candidates about why they should be excited about being the manager of the Chicago White Sox?
I think there's multiple reasons for that, obviously, from the market. A wonderful market in Chicago. I'm new to this market, the city itself, and the surrounding neighborhoods, the fan base, the history of the organization. Not only that, owner that is a baseball man through and through, front office that is full of baseball people that have played the game at the major league level, and Chris and Josh Barfield that know how difficult it is to play the game, and also to our system, our players, right? We feel we have depth in starting pitching, and that's the currency of the game. It always will be. And we feel like we have good depth at that position. Certainly, it's very tenuous, right? Pitchers still have to perform, stay healthy, and continue to develop. But we feel we do have depth in that area.
Jin, I don't like to go into history. You know, everyone knows that the White Sox had a horrible year and had the worst record in baseball history. But from your guys' planning point, and again, I know you're new to the club, a big part of it, but you've been in this division forever as a front office executive with Kansas City as well. When you're when you know you're not going to win a ton of games, and you go into a season and you lose 20 to 25 past that, is there a point where you sit down and say, you know, where did this plan go south on us? How did we get to this point? We only expected to be at this level. We're here now.
Yeah, I think you're always evaluating, frankly, after every game. You certainly don't want to get too in the weeds. You want to keep your eyes on the bigger picture. But certainly, it was a disappointing season. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think from the standpoint of what we have coming and where we are as an organization, Chris's first year as a general manager last year, there was learning curves and trying to establish his vision of what he wants this organization to be. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to look forward to moving forward.
When you look at the offense of this team, and obviously not just this year, and you've only been here for 1 year, but prior to even you coming, the team hasn't been hitting the ball out of the ballpark. There isn't a laundry list of players, you know, coming in the minor leagues that are going to help that problem. You did talk about the surplus of pitching and certainly the high-ranked prospects, and whether it's guys on your major league roster or coming in the minor leagues as soon as next year. How do you fix a problem that has been part of this organization for the last couple of years offensively, knowing that you're not going to throw a whole bunch of money at it while creatively trying to manage the surplus that you have at pitching?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys that hit the ball out of the ballpark, certainly at the free agent level, are super, super expensive, right? I mean, those upper echelon players. And I don't think we're going to be in that type of market, certainly not this offseason. There's certainly players that we have on our roster that we feel have offensive upside that we need to find about this year. And, you know, there's opportunities to move some of that surplus for bats that we feel really good about. Whether that happens remains to be seen. But I don't think we're an organization that's going to overly focus on trying to find the guys that are the three outcome type of players, right? A strikeout, a walk, or a home run. I think Chris's vision for this organization, the brand of baseball, is going to be an exciting action-type oriented type of game where you know, we try to reduce the strikeouts. We focus on pitching and defense, and we have action on the bases. And that doesn't necessarily mean home runs. Certainly everybody loves a home run, but we're talking about balls in the gap, balls down the line, extra bases. And I think that's what we're hoping to do.
Jin, you know, there's been reports out there that the analytics departments have been upgraded and increased. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, where the team is at as far as analytics go and your history with that in Kansas City as well, and how essential it is to get that dynamic going forward?
Yeah, I would say in Kansas City that we weren't known to be a big analytics-driven team, but certainly R&D, analytics, whatever you want to call it, plays a big part in every decision we make. And we actually did a really good job, Dr. Daniel Mack over there, who's a VP assistant GM and a friend of mine, of pushing that department forward, adding staff, creating, you know, research projects and reports to help our staff, not only at the major league and minor league level. Certainly they had a department here that was already in place. We're going through some reorganization now where we're going to go through some specialization with our staff members and create more communication both inside that department and also throughout the organization. We're hopeful to expand, hopeful to add infrastructure. For example, Hawkeye Systems, labs, lab equipment. That's what we're hoping to do over the next couple of years, but it's a process. And, you know, we certainly realize that that department is going to touch everything we do and help with our decision-making process, and obviously is super, super important.
There's been a lot of spotlight on Colson Montgomery for obvious reasons, super talented, but he struggled this year at AAA. He hit just .214. He had a high strikeout rate of, I believe, close to 29%. Right. But he just completed a very successful Arizona Fall League where he hit .313 and had an OPS of – 1167, a very low strikeout to walk ratio, which was great to see. So what did you guys see, or what did you, was there something you had him tweak heading into Arizona Fall League that has him heading into his offseason on a much higher note?
I mean, I think there was some pressures that maybe Colson put on himself and trying to maybe make the club this year at some point. And certainly that affects players in different ways. And obviously, I think after the season, he had a chance to take a breath, reset a little bit, and go into the Arizona Fall League. And he's not going to be there for a long time. And just try to finish out and get some extra at-bats against, obviously, that top competition. He's performed, obviously, well in the AFL, and we're excited to see how that translates in the offseason and the spring. And in the spring, we're not going to put any limitations on our players, and we hope he shows up. And we know he's going to be in shape. We know he's going to be ready mentally. Looking forward to seeing what he does in the spring, and hopefully he makes that decision at the end of spring very difficult for us.
White Sox Assistant General Manager Jin Wong, our guest for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. Jin, as far as the Crochet and Roberts situation, it's a great problem to have. There's multiple teams that want both players. If they stay on the White Sox, it's a great thing. But certainly being able to pull the trigger at the right time is going to be the charge of Chris and you guys. How would you know when it's, you know, okay, Team X has offered the top two players that we want, but they're not giving us the third one. We're not making this trade. I believe that happened at the trading deadline with a National League East team. How do you know when to pull, and how difficult is that to feel comfortable with that move, knowing you're trading possibly one of the best young pitchers in the game?
So I would say that in any scenario with any player, you have to be open to the possibility of moving that player, unless there's a contractual obligation that can't be met. So I think we just have to be open to listening, right? And with the main goal of making the organization better in the long run and short run. But I would say that those decisions aren't easy, as you well know. Chris takes the temperature of a lot of his assistants, like myself, Josh, Gene Watson, David Keller, who's now a special assistant with us. We do a lot of background on the players we're going to potentially acquire. And at the end of the day, that decision is his, but certainly he gets everyone's opinion and analytics as well. I forgot to mention them. And that decision at the end of the day is Chris's and his alone. But it's not easy, and you're trying to do the best you can at that particular time. But again, we're under no obligation to move those players. Those players are under control for 2 and 3 years, respectively. We love them. They're White Sox until we decide they're not, and we have high hopes for them for 2025 and beyond. But to answer your question, not an easy decision, but once you get comfortable with it, certainly there's an opportunity to pull the trigger.
The three of us have been in and out of a lot of clubhouses, and it doesn't take a long time in there to realize what's a good clubhouse, what's a bad clubhouse, when you're talking about just the way the whole dynamic works. Fans don't want to hear it, but I will say, being in that clubhouse throughout the season this year, I saw a pretty strong group, regardless of losing streaks and records being talked about. There was a lot of strength in that clubhouse. So what did you guys learn in year one of this process together, knowing that you have to identify more free agents to add to a club that's more on the front of this rebuild than on the back, about keeping the clubhouse together when you're identifying a new manager?
Yeah, you're right. There was no drama this year in that clubhouse, which you would have probably anticipated from the outside looking in, and I appreciate you saying that, but you're absolutely right. That's an important part of our organization, of any organization, the culture of the clubhouse, and we're trying to establish a winning type of environment. And the person that we hire as our new manager for the next season is going to be in charge of building that and pushing that. It's a very a difficult process trying to evaluate player makeup on the free agent market and how they would interact with our players in our current mix. So that's something we all strive for, and that's something that, quite frankly, Dayton Moore, as general manager of the Kansas City for a long time, told me that, you know, when these players retire and you talk to them 5-10 years after their careers ended, they never really reminisce about these particular moments they've had in the game. They never say they miss that. The thing they say they miss the most is the camaraderie and the relationships, and trying to establish that and create that positive environment in the clubhouse where players are going to play for each other as opposed to for themselves is obviously very, very difficult. But once you do that, then you have something special.
In the on this show and then in my stories I write on our website, I try to let people know that White Sox have some of the brightest and best young people in the game moving forward in their front office. People don't want to hear it because there's no results right now. But how excited were you to leave a very secure job that you had been in Kansas City for many, many years to come in with this group to try to do something special in Chicago?
I mean, Kansas City was all we had known as a family, my wife and two kids, and we love Kansas City, the organization. I still love a lot of people over there, trust them with my life, quite frankly, but the opportunity to come here in this market with this organization and the history, especially with Chris, that relationship that we had had since we traded for him in Kansas City from the White Sox as a player and as one of our front office executives, there's really no better human being than Chris Getz. I trust him unequivocally, and I believe he trusts me, and he's a lot of fun to work for, work with, and it's an opportunity to build something here from the ground up, and I think that opportunity was too attractive to me and my family.
Chin, we thank you for taking some time on this Saturday morning to talk White Sox, and good luck with the managerial search and free agency that's just right around the corner.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great day. Thank you.
White Sox assistant GM Chin Wong. Before Chicago takes on Washington, tune in tomorrow from 12 to 3 for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Mully, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Bruce and I have some final thoughts when we wrap things up.
Including, can Michael Kopech strike you out or throw seven strikes in a row by you?
I look forward to having that debate when we come back on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.